parenting advice on Talk About.
Now, welcome, Margaret.
Thank you, dear dress. Good to
see
be
you
here.
Good to see you as always, and you're surviving the rain.
Surviving the rain, and I'm waiting for our summer.
Any day now.
Any day now,
it'll happen. We're going to talk a little bit this month, Margaret, about what you might broadly term children's extracurricular activities. And the reason I asked you to talk about this was twofold. First of all, there was a very good article in one of the papers about it recently saying that parents are finally starting to scale back on all the activities they're organising for their children, which I think is a good thing. But the other reason is I see a lot on forums and social media now, parents are saying, does anyone know of any summer camps between July and August for 3 weeks or whatever? And it kind of dawned on me, and I was as guilty of this as anyone else, we're inclined to overschedule them a bit, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah, I definitely think so. So about that article you mentioned, there's a lot of reasons why parents are paring back. One of them is cost constraints. The cost of living has gone so high in things that parents are cutting back. But parents are getting burnt out as well from the overferrying children to and from different organisations, coming from work. A lot of Irish parents now are working. A lot of them in full-time jobs. So coming home, running children to different activities in different places. A lot of them, it's 6 and 7 days a week. Do you know if they're in football, GA, hurling, everything? It's continuous. So parents are getting burnt out as well. But again, we have some parents are going back to that focus on free time, on play, on structured time for children. In my opinion, we're almost rearing children as adults nowadays. Even our preschool has a curriculum that's linked to primary school. Primary school is linked to secondary school to third year. There's no unstructured time, unstructured play, or even emotional regulation time for children. So if we're rushing all the time to take them here, there, and the other place. Just for an example, I mentioned one time structuring their time, sitting down with them, doing out a timetable with them. And so, and a parent says to me, where do you think I'll find time to do that with my child? But I'm saying then we've to prioritise what our values are. Yes, hurling, football, basketball, taekwondo, chess, all very important. But one or two is enough. Our children don't have to be in everything. Unstructured time at home, a bit of boredom. I suppose, you know, social media and music and all that gets a bad press for the young people nowadays. But being able to sit at home and listen to music in your room for an hour or two is really, really relaxing, really, really calming for young people. But yet we actually frown on it a lot. Oh, they're above there doing their own thing. But yet it's a regulation strategy. So I'm not talking about now on the social media scrolling endlessly and things. But it's about, we're rushing them from the minute they get up. College is in our sight. And we're pushing them straight through. Do you know, so even like Mary Montessori would say, play is the work of the child. But where's that time now?
Yeah.
Do you know, we're inside creches, inside rooms, and even, you know, we're in an era that we have put so much as parents into children. They have so many opportunities that the previous generation didn't have. But yet, the mental health of our young people is declining.
It's never been worse, probably.
Never been worse.
Yeah.
And that was, COVID didn't help it. But the statistics show referrals to CAMHS and mental health was declining around 2012, 2016. So Ireland rank very poorly in Europe in terms of our youth mental health. They're only 24th, I think, out of 22 out of 41, I think, is where we're ranking on mental health for our young people.
And are you saying, Margaret, that part of that is that we're overscheduling them and we're not allowing them time to be themselves, to be bored, to entertain themselves?
But also, what research is saying, they're saying they're almost empty because it's all activities. It's not real connection. Because even if you're at home, like everybody's getting up in the morning, everybody's rushing to get out of school to get to certain things. Then you come home in the evening, there's study, there's lessons to be done, there's activities to be done. It's all rush, it's all going. But there's no actual real meaningful connection time. Say, even the Leaving Cert, we're asking young people, you know, how are you doing? How did the test go today? How did that go today? We're all focused on marks and how school is going, things. But nobody asks them, how's your mental health today?
Yeah.
How are you actually feeling? Like, how are you coping with all this? Is there too much pressure on you? Like, do you know, those real connecting, they'd say children are becoming kind of, how would you say, what's the point? Everything's kind of almost for school. Everything. We're not teaching them to be resilient and to be able to cope with connection, relationships. It seems to be all school and rushing.
Yeah. I just want to delve into something briefly. Why do you think, Margaret, that parents are so keen that their children, we'll say, go to Boy Scouts and hurling and gymnastics, and that they're stuck in everything? Do you know, why is that? Do we think that if they'll miss out if we don't put them into everything, or if Johnny down the road is doing hurling, you have to do hurling?
Yeah, I suppose in my work I come across a number of different reasons, right? Say the previous generations of parents didn't have time for that kind of thing. They were working on farms and it was hard labour and things. So all sports was unstructured. People went out in the garden and they played hurling, football. Do you know, all those things were done in...
Kick the ball against the wall.
Yeah, they were unstructured. There was rows, there was fighting. People sorted them out. And like some fella said there one day, I thought it was very interesting. He said, it was easy to start an argument, he said, because everyone in the field just wanted to get on with the game. So cop on to yourself, Johnny, or tell him we're sorry and we get on with the game. But now parents seem to want their children to try out everything. I suppose there's also a thing around, they don't want to say no to children. Every child, if they could, the majority, now we have some children that are very anxious and things and don't want to go out and don't want to go to these activities. But for the ordinary, typically developing young person, of course they want to go to basketball, of course they want to go to football, and of course they want to. So sometimes parents don't want to say no to them. But yeah, it's up to the parents to hold boundaries. Do you know, you can have children 12, 13 and 14 playing four or five different sports. They're going from one match to the other to the other. They're coming up with injuries very young in life and getting burnt out and sick of them. Like, they can try out a lot of stuff later on in life. But there's also, the parents want for their children what they didn't have a lot of the time. The
overcompensating.
Overcompensating. So we want to give them everything. It's almost, parents would often say to me, I just want them to be happy. They want them to have the perfect, idealised life. But there's no such thing.
Yeah.
There's no such thing. It's teaching about the ups and downs of life. We need to teach them. So even saying to a child, no, you're going to spend 5 days at home and maybe 2 days doing an activity, and the child may not like it or may say all his friends are gone. But that's about teaching the child, you can't always have what you want.
Yeah, there's a lesson in that as well. I always remember speaking to a friend of mine a few years back, and she has two sons, and she was telling me that she fell into that trap. And she said that one Saturday morning, her eldest or her second son, she was taking him to rugby, and he was maybe 6 or 7, and she went downstairs and she said, come on now, come on, we're going to rugby. And she said he was sitting in his pyjamas playing with his toys, and he just looked up at her and he said, but mammy, I want to stay here and play with my toys. And she said it was like a light bulb moment. Yes. But suddenly she said, what am I doing on a Saturday morning getting a 6-year-old out of his pyjamas to go and play rugby when he's quite content here with his toys?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And she said it was, from then on, she copped herself on.
Yeah. And you see, while structured games are good for them in a sense, they're meeting people, but they're too structured, if you like, because children are collected, right, or from wherever, home or what have you. They're carried to the shop, they run in, they get their few sweets, the parents come, they drop them off, they go in, they play, they finish, parents collect them, they might go to shop and they go home. But long ago, like, they might spend an hour talking, going down the street with someone, cycling with someone. So there was a whole pile of connection going on around it. I suppose for me, we're over-monitoring our young people. We're over Monte. The parents are tracking them morning, noon and night, literally with things in their shoes, their phones, everything, to see where they are. Children have no space from parents to be out there trying out all the normal things that children in the childhood try out, the good, the bad and the ugly. Do you know, we're over monitoring them. If we look at the young Dutch people rate themselves as the happiest possibly in Europe and maybe around the world. And a few differences that they have a lot of autonomy and agency. They can come and go on bikes. Now, I know our infrastructure isn't set up here in Ireland for bikes and all that kind of thing, but they can come and go. They can use public transport. They're independent from a very, very young age. I observed a family in Holland, and I was fascinated by it there one summer, but a family walked by and the young fella said he was too hot, so the mother took off his jumper for him, but she tied it around himself to carry it. The mother didn't carry that jumper for him. So if he was too hot, that was fine. But hereby, carry your own jumper. Do you know, less mollycoddling. And the Dutch young people, they go out to about two activities. They're involved in about two activities. But that leaves an awful lot more time then for connection time at home, which are family meals, chats. They're more open to talking about drugs, drink, contraception. Do you know, bad relationships. Openly inside the risks involved with them, and it's not a you can't do them, I'll monitor you to make sure you're not touching them, but it's open conversations. We know that to help children behave appropriately out there, we need open disclosure rather than monitoring, because the more we monitor them, the more they'll work at hiding what they're doing from us. But we want a child to be able to come home and tell us what actually happened when they went out last night and said, Jesus, there was drugs at a party last night and someone offered me something. We nearly fall off the seat. But it's much better for a child if they can come home and say that.
Yeah.
Rather than the reaction of the parents losing the plot and things, because monitoring just creates hiding.
So just to come back to the substantive issue, if you like, of extracurricular activities, the likes of scouts and stage school is another yeah. one and sport and all of that. So by and large, about two of those activities is more than enough, or even one. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, two or one is more than enough. And definitely as children get older, they need to, if they're in four or five, they need to be able to drop some. Because you can't keep that sustained. I suppose we're living in unprecedented times, right? Our society is never more heightened in anxiety, the cost of living, conflict. We've climate change. We had COVID pandemics. We've the digital media. We've AI. So it's a very heightened world. Everyone is almost living on their nerves. And what's normal is that, say, an unusual event happened to me, say a tiger came in there now to the room, my heart rate would rise, I'd get anxious, the stress would rise to the roof until I'd decide what to do, fight or flight. I'd either drop dead with the fright or I'd run. And then once I'd run and take action to get away from the tiger, my system, once it would rest, would go back to normal. I just have a normal level, the heart rate, the blood pressure and everything would go down. But we have such a society now, we're living at the height, almost as if there's a tiger chasing us. The brain doesn't know the difference between a tiger and the rushing to work, the traffic, the anxiety around having a project in, even going down to the young person's sporting games, making sure that they win if they're left on the sideline. So we're living on a very heightened, our stress levels hadn't gone down to normal. They're there to protect us. So we've a lot of young people living on that high anxiety too.
So downtime is what you're talking about.
Downtime.
They need to just, as they say themselves, chill.
Chill.
Yeah.
Chill. And they need to chill, but they also need places to hang out.
Yeah.
And meet people and just connected. You know, say even hanging out, children going to the GA. I know they, a lot of them have to be driven all that, but even dropping them to the shop where they could meet three or four of their friends before it for half an hour, then they all wander to the sports field or something. That's connection time that's unstructured. It's age appropriate, of course. But say the skating parks that our country has been, they're all fantastic. They give young people places to hang out. Now, I do know that a bit of vandalism goes on in all those places and things, but we know that has happened down through the years. That happens every generation. There's a number of blackguards that will try and wreck it and ruin it for others, but we've to manage that. Do you know, in the news there was talks about a playground that was wrecked through vandalism. That happens, not nice, but how do we just repair it and try and move on again so that it is available for other people?
Yeah,
but
you don't shut it down like...
You don't shut it down, you know. But we need to have more unstructured time that's easy going, that I can walk up to the sports field at my leisure, drink my bottle of Coke. Well, now it would be frowned on if we're eating bars nowadays and going running and training on it, because they'd be saying you're not eating healthy. But everything's a rush.
Yeah. Speaking of everything being a rush, I'm going to pause you there, Margaret, because we need to take a break and we have some questions for you. We have some comments as well. Does anyone have any views on this? The whole idea of children being overscheduled. You hear of young kids who are out five nights a week at different activities. Good thing, bad thing, what are your views? And if you're a parent listening to us, do your children go to many activities? And what are your thoughts on what Margaret had to say? Please get in touch, 083 300 3300. We're back in a moment.
Talk About on Radio Kerry, sponsored by Kitty O'Shea's Seafood and Grill Restaurant, College Street, Killarney, where the finest quality produce is sourced, served and enjoyed with award-winning hospitality. Experience it today at Kitty O'Shea's Killarney.
Parenting advice on Talk About.
Now, Margaret, I might read you some of the comments that have come in, and if you want to circle back on any of them. This one from a person says, Margaret is 100% right. Kids now go to creche between 8 and 6, then they go to school at the weekends. It's all about sports, music, structured play. School breaks are at camps, Halloween, summer sports, etc. But unfortunately, when mum and dad both work full time to pay the bills, there's nobody at home. And they've no time to give the kids downtime, says that person. Another listener says, my mom stayed at home full time. She was a homemaker, so we were able to have a lot more time to sit in the room and play and read, play on our own with friends or go for a cycle. We don't have that now because both parents are working. A listener says, does sport not teach resilience to children, how to win or lose? Organisation, like bring your gum shield and your gloves, time management, get your homework done first, how to make friends, healthy lifestyle, etc. Sport in moderation has a lot to teach kids. Well, you didn't say the opposite, and neither did I.
And I'd agree with her. Sports does teach all that. But again, we need parents to stay out of it. And my experience is there aren't many young fellas packing their own bags for their sports thing. It's mostly the parents that are doing it, and it's done in a fair rush. And if the socks and the shoes aren't ready, they're screaming and roaring and shouting. So if the children were doing all those things for themselves, great, but we often don't have the time to sit down and say, okay, my thing is we need to teach children to structure their time. So if they're football on Wednesday, Tuesday night, they get their list, pack their bags, have them ready and prepared. But that's not what happens a lot of the time. And children do learn the problem solving and conflict resolution to get disappointment and all that. But we've a lot of parents intervening in that as well. That if their Johnny isn't happy or if he's upset or disappointed or he's on the bench, then we have parents getting involved there again. So it is brilliant, a certain amount of it.
Yeah.
And I love it. I'm not anti-sports. I've played them all my life and got huge benefit. But the free flow stuff around it is not available anymore. You're dropped off, you're picked up. There's very little around. They connect and having fun, doing the laughter, sitting on the walls.
Yeah, there's very little time for that, I agree. I love this comment from a listener, Margaret, who says, I have two boys. Yesterday they played Monopoly for 4 hours.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, they couldn't go out yesterday. The weather.
And so there's loads of skills to be learning from that as well.
Yeah, this is it. This is it. Margaret, just to move on, there's a question for you. Now, this isn't related to today's topic, but I'll put it to you anyway. Just bear with me one moment till I get it up on the screen. Oh, yeah. Sorry now, Margaret. I'm just trying to find that question for you that came in earlier. Oh yeah, here we have it. Margaret, she says her daughter's little 9-year-old has a habit of hitting out at her mum whenever she throws a tantrum. Any advice on how the mum should react to this? So I think this must be the granny that's texting in.
Yes, I suppose it's a complex enough question, but what we are finding, there's a lot of young people nowadays think nothing of hitting out at their parents aggressively. And, you know, there seems to be no fear around it. So that is a problem in an awful lot of families. And if it isn't managed from a very young level, it continues 16, 17 and 18. So what I'd be thinking there offhand is she needs to get the message that it isn't acceptable, that when there are heated emotions, when there are arguments, when there are fightings, it's a parent's job to de-escalate, walk away from it, step out of it. We can't reason with a young person that's angry, mad, or ourselves. It's very hard to reason with ourselves if we're tired, hungry, upset, distressed, or what have you. So that parent's job there is try and de-escalate. What we do find an awful lot of the time is that when a young person has big feelings, we step in to try and manage the young person's feelings to get them to stop, to calm down. That evokes aggression and violence back towards us, whereas our job is to hold the emotional boundaries, that we regulate ourselves, we calm ourselves. So when we feel things getting heated, whether it's a parent, often a child will start shouting, a parent might get louder and it goes up and up, or a parent might be nagging, going on and on and on, and a parent gets caught in that. So we try and teach the parents, step out of it. Don't bother arguing, fighting. Don't go into power battles with your young person. But what we do with that thing, I do a parenting program, Nonviolent Resistance, because it's very big in Ireland now, supporting parents to deal with those exact type of circumstances. How do you, when your child is quite willing to hit you back, how do you manage it? So she might get a family resource centre that would do that parenting program with her, or the family's family resource centres do run parenting programmes during the winter, 10-week programmes on it and things. She could look out there, but I'd certainly advise that mum to do that and get a grip on it. It's not okay for any child to hit a parent, but in the heat of the moment, it's de-escalation. How does the parent say, things are too heated right now, I'm taking myself out of this. We're not leaving the children get away with stuff. We're coming back when things are calmer. When the iron is cold, we're coming back to deal with it. And we come back and we do what we call a kind of a sit-in. That behaviour isn't acceptable. And we need to find a solution to this, because mum and dad aren't going to tolerate it going forward.
Now, I'm not sure whether this is really your area, because it's about a baby. But you reared how many of them?
Three.
So maybe you might have some advice. It's again a grandmother. She says her little granddaughter, who's 1 year old, screams hysterically through the night. She's breastfed. She eats a good wholesome food during the day. Any advice?
Will a child screaming at their top of the voice, there's something going on for them. The child isn't deliberately saying they're doing this to drive the parents mad or anything. So we often try and get children to fit into our routine, that they come and they go to bed at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and they get up in the morning. We're all the time trying to coax them into, well, we're breastfeeding it probably on demand and things. But there's obviously a challenge for that child. Either they have pain, a bit of colic or something, it might be reflux or something, she'd have have to rule out medical stuff, but it might be just the closeness to the parent that that child needs. So instead of trying to push it into these structures and routine, we have to try and work around the child. This child is coming with their characteristics, their traits and what have you. And I suppose looking back on when I reared my children, we were always focused on, get them to bed. Jesus, if we don't get them to bed, we'll have no sleep and all that kind of thing. Whereas at times it's more about sit with them, sit in a rocket and share with them, rest with them, calm them, regulate them. That child obviously needs some form of connection, and they're not setting out to drive anyone mad. But we often try and mould them into our system, and some children won't be moulded.
Yeah, I had one of those. Listen, Margaret, before we let you go, you have very kindly put together, and it's actually brilliant because I've read it, you've put together a great guide for parents of young people doing the state exams, yeah, which are coming up very soon. And you very kindly said that I can email it out to anyone who wants
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, anyone that wants it. It's all about the language we use is powerful, so it can create pressure or just even keel things for the parents and the young people.
Yeah, so if anybody out there has a child doing the junior cert or leaving cert, I have Margaret's handout sheet. I also gave it to some of my colleagues here who have young people doing exams, and they've all found it really good. And Margaret has so generously said I can email it to any listener who wants it. So just email me talkabout@radiokerry.ie. I'll send it out to you, and I would advise you to have a good read over it if you have a young person doing exams at the moment. It's all about the language you use, as Margaret said, and how to talk to them and how to create the right atmosphere in the house and all of that, but there's really good stuff in it. Margaret, just remind people how they can get in touch with you.
Right, my phone number is 087 174 7813 or my website is margaretgilbertlifecoach.com.
Perfect. And we'll see you again next month. And thank you
Lovely.
So much.
Thanks very much.
We'll take a break, folks. We're going to talk about the great show band era and hopefully bring back a few memories for you. That's up next.